Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Boss Hogg, and co-hosting with me this week is William Miller, the sexiest man ever.
How you doing there, Blake Bug?
I'm doing pretty good. We got to get new titles. We can't keep using the same throwaway dumb titles. We'll come up with new ones by next week, I promise. And also co-hosting Justin Ficarotta.
Guitar Hero 2 Lord for
Lord. That'll work.
Justin Ficarotta of Stingray fame.
How's it going?
Now, for you guys out there, Blake Buck is coming to us from a phone. So we've got sort of, since his internet sucks so bad, he's not as powerful on our headsets. You guys will hear him in his full glory, but
that's kind of
weak.
See, to us over the phone, that sounded like a little schoolgirl giggling.
Okay, guys, before we start the show, I got to tell you about the disaster.
Uh-oh.
It'll be forever ingrained in my memory is the day that I had the disaster. Okay, so
we
love
disaster on this show.
I know. I get up really early on Saturday mornings because I go to Aikido, right? So I get up at 8 o'clock Saturday morning. That's real early for William Miller. So I usually get up and I get a cup of coffee and I sit down at my computer and, you know, check my email and all that heat. Well, last Saturday morning I get up and get my cup of coffee and then promptly spill it all over my MacBook Pro. Oh.
You are a clown.
So as a testament though to how robust these machines are, I'm using it right now to record this podcast. I took it apart and not a whole lot actually got in the machine. But I will be taking it to get it cleaned later so it doesn't turn into a big paperweight in a month.
It's going to blow up in your face.
Well, that's good. It's a good thing you spilled coffee on it, not game developer sauce, or it would have just exploded.
Yeah.
How was that for an obscure reference?
Pretty good.
What exactly is game developer sauce? Is that like when game developers go surfing for booby.jpg? Or
maybe we should ask Linda Adams. And this is your gaming news for October 25th, 2006.
Game developer sauce news, go.
I'm going, stop rushing me. So Valve offers Source for Xbox 360. Xbox Live hits 4 million users. PS3 ad rolls out. PS3's downloadable games have been confirmed. And I'm scrolling here. No gamer score for the PlayStation 3. eBay pulls plugs on PS3 auctions. Lots of PS3 news this week, guys. The Halo movie in flux. And finally, Sony claims that the PlayStation 3 is cheaper than the Xbox 360. All this and more on this week's best damn podcast ever.
All right, Valve to offer a Source engine for Xbox 360. Middleware solutions are becoming very popular as game developers look to mitigate the cost of next-generation game creation. Epic Games' Unreal Engine, Gears of War and Turok, and
no, that's Turok.
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 Did you see the trailer for the new Turok?
Oh, it's coming out. I guess I missed it.
Oh man, it's pretty good. You got to watch it. Turok.
Oh man.
And
I'll
have to
bite the head off a dinosaur and then punch a baby in the face.
The Elder Scrolls Oblivion engine is also another popular one out there, licensed for 360. But these middleware solutions are going to have some competition as the Source engine hits the platform. So, Valve today. I don't know when today is. Blake Buck, when was this actually announced?
Monday.
All right.
See how I know everything?
Yeah, he knows everything. It was announced the 360 version of its Source engine is being offered to developers. The Source engine, of course, debuted with Valve's Half-Life 2 and has since been licensed for the use on PC games like Dark Messiah, Might of Magic, and a bunch of others.
I can't read that last one. there's a series of three, and he reads the first two and says, I can't read the others.
Just
so,
too much
an update to this article is when Valve was preparing to make the... Wait a minute. When asked if Valve was preparing... all right. Simmer down, William Miller.
You're almost pulling a Blake Buck on
me. I don't know.
He's got that game developer sauce in his eyes.
I know. I've been coding all weekends. So I'm a little frazzled. So it doesn't look like they're making PS3 version of Source.
Is it bad that I'm a little happy? I mean, what? I love Sony. So it says, what does it say here? Half-Life 2 is scheduled to be released on the Xbox 360 and PlayStation. What? You're so f***ing stupid. Half-Life 2 is scheduled to be released on Xbox and PlayStation 3 the first quarter of 2007.
Now, wait a minute. This says, when they were asked by representatives of GameSpot, we're not currently working on the Sony PS3 middleware.
Coming. So first party like titles will be coming to both.
Oh, okay.
The middleware content will only be coming to the Xbox. I see.
Is there any reason for that besides spite, which I approve of? But
I could really care less about this news because it just means more shooters, and those are really boring.
I love it.
Dude,
I love physics engines in games. What was I playing this weekend? I was playing Oblivion for the first time. And it's like the more advanced a physics engine in a game is, the stupider it is.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was going around to my buddy's house in Oblivion. He collected all these crystal balls. He went through the whole game collecting crystal balls. So his house is just full of, like, hundreds of these crystal balls. And then he was like, I got tired of them, so I threw them in the fire. And there's like a mountain of crystal balls in the fire. Physics engine at work. I love it.
Well, I was playing through Prey, doing my first person shooter run of my game score whoring quest. And I don't know, it's just like one of those games where, you know, it's got some cool parts in it, but it's just one of those games that screams, hey, look at my physics engine. Look at these boxes and crates flying around. And I don't know. I've only seen it in two games, and I'm sick of it. Just, if you want to let me push a box, let me push a box. And don't give me this advanced, crazy, Newtonian, Einsteinian, per pixel physics, whatever the hell is going on in these things.
Einsteinium. That was the most complicated word you could come up with.
I don't think, though, that the developers sat down and said, all right, we're going to make crazy physics. It's just that physics engines are not to the point yet where it's 100% realistic. I think they're getting there, but it's not like the intent of the developer to make ridiculous physics engine. It's like they are progressing towards more natural looking, you know, physics, but it's not there yet. So you get ridiculous looking stuff.
Well, because what happens, in any other game, I push a box and I push the box. Okay, I push my crate. In Prey, the physics engine is so complicated and realistic that whenever I push a crate, like, it rolls toward me as I'm pushing it. This is a cube. This is a crate. They don't roll.
Well, maybe they just suck at writing their physics engine. I mean, that could be a possibility, too.
That's true. So, speaking of Xbox, Xbox Live has hit 4 million users. So the online service for Microsoft's console reaches a new milestone, population expected to grow to 6 million by mid-2007. So just 4 years ago, I think next month will be the fourth anniversary of Xbox Live. So this figure here where they say 4 million is including both Xbox 360 and the original Xbox Live. So Microsoft is touting that they have 4 million users. What do you guys think about that?
I love how that's like half of World of Warcraft. Blizzard's like 4 million. We don't care. It's like our one game is twice as many subscribers as your entire platform. Pwned.
So they've got some stats here. More than 70 million pieces of content downloaded in Xbox Live's marketplace over the first 11 months. More than 12 million Xbox Live arcade downloads in the same period, with a trial to purchase ratio of 24%. So I guess that means, you know, you try the game and then you like it and you'll buy it. 24% of people who try demos end up buying it. I guess that's what that means. Uno leads all arcade titles with a 50% trial to purchase ratio. Time logged on Xbox Live playing games. That's such a stupid stat. What is it? 2 billion hours. Oh, okay. What a ridiculous stat. And more than 9 million text and voice messages sent over the Xbox Live each week. So, Xbox Live is apparently a success.
Wow, it's incredibly successful. I am going to be really interested to see how the competitors' versions of this stack up. We're going to talk a little bit about that later in the show.
That's right.
Well, that fall update is already on PartnerNet, which is like their developer Xbox Live, and it's going to be some hot heat.
So, Justific, do you actually know what that is? Have you seen it?
PartnerNet?
And just can't talk about it? No, the new update.
I'm sure I can't. I really have no idea. But.
So this is a new system that they're adding to their online thing, right?
Is it like a changed interface or just like
it
a
says,
patch?
It says the service, which Microsoft described as the first and only unified games and entertainment network, is available in 24 countries, and companies expect it to surpass 6 million members by summer 2007.
I don't know what this is, but I'm pretty sure it connects to the Zune.
I guess Phantom Entertainment is out of luck.
Oh, no!
That lap board will never get there now.
Dude, I've got 6 on back order. Ready to go.
One for each lap.
Blake Buck has 6 laps.
How is that even an insult? That doesn't even make sense.
Yes, I do have 6 laps. You're right. Somebody take this heat.
The first US PS3 TV ad has rolled out. You can see it on YouTube. It's an eerie 70-second spot, and it shows children awaiting giant airborne object shaped like the number 3. Like, I've seen this, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah, okay, so for those of you who haven't seen this ad, it shows this kid, and it's like, you know, it's shot all moodily, if that's even a way to describe this. It's got music featured in Traffic, and 28 Days Later playing in the background, and it uses all these, like, jump cuts and this kind of stuff. And this kid's getting ready to do something. He's getting ready to leave. He's packing his bag. He takes one last look at his mom. And he goes up to the top of this apartment building. And you see all these other kids coming out doing the same thing. And they look up in the sky and they see a big 3. And that just says, then it fades out, PlayStation 3. And then the release date, I guess.
Dude, I love it. I love this ad.
Yeah, it just has, like, kids and a big shadow looks like number 3. Faded black, the wait is over, PS3 logo.
I love it because it's so pretentious, you know? We don't even have to show you game footage. Just the number itself will strike fear into the hearts of kids on rooftops across the world.
It's like Nike. They don't even make sports products anymore. They just make commercials.
Well, you know what I love about this commercial is, like, okay, so they show the kids and they all have backpacks, like, when they're standing on the roofs, right? And I'm like, what's so big in that backpack that they're all carrying backpacks? And then it occurred to me, oh, yeah, $700.
and they got to have a big sack to carry it back in. The thing's pretty big, we got to remember.
That's true.
Oh, man.
So if you want to check that out, it's over at YouTube. Just search PS3. Trailer. I don't know. You'll probably find fake ones. You find it anyway. How can we identify this from the fake ones? Search the wait is over. That's the tagline at the end.
Who is waiting? I don't know. It's I've been more just looking at it, just laughing my ass off like a circus sideshow. It really hasn't been anticipation at all.
You should get excited, Justin Fick, because the PS3 downloadable games have been confirmed. 5, maybe even 6 new games have been confirmed for the PlayStation 3's downloadable service following last week's info leak. So, blah, blah, blah. I'm not reading that. All right, so the first game, Blast Factory, which is developed by Bluepoint. Blast Factory takes gaming microscopic as players move through specimens and shoot down deadly viruses. Boy, this sounds original. All right, let's move on. Go Sudoku, developed by Sumo Digital. Oh, boy, another great one. Go Swizzlebox 2. Okay, I'm just going to go through. Criminal Crackdown is the only one of note. It's developed by SCEA Santa Monica, which also developed God of War. And apparently David Jaffe, gaming auteur / rock star behind God of War, has apparently put a lot of time and effort into this little downloadable game. So maybe that one will be cool. The final one, Lemmings 2. But it's not Lemmings 2 The Tribe, if any of you guys remember that from the mid-90s. This is a totally remade Lemmings 2. Which I was a huge fan of Lemmings 2 The Tribe, so I'm a little disappointed that they're not taking it in that direction.
Dude, my memories of Lemmings include replaying the third level over and over again and blowing everyone up.
Well, it sounds like Sony's at least sort of getting their online plan in a row. It's certainly not as extensive as 4 million players online, but they're getting there.
Well, there you might say that until you read the next article. No gamer score for PS3.
Failed.
Justin Fick cannot buy one now.
Justin, yeah. So they I think, toyed with the idea and decided that they're not going to do a universal scoring system, in citing the fact that how successful you are at one game doesn't, you know, carry over to how successful you are in the other game.
Cop
so I think
out.
They're going to
cop out.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
I think they're going to have these sort of per game high scoreboards or whatever.
Hmm.
Yeah, they want glorified leaderboards for each game.
I'm serious. They could face, you know, they could face legal action from Microsoft if they did. I mean, because it is some. I mean, you can copyright the gamer score idea and concept. And if Sony had implemented something similar, could they be sued by Microsoft?
They bring up a really interesting point, though. I mean, you know, they say it's very difficult to draw analogies between your success on SOCOM and your success on Madden. How do you, as a developer of like Xbox 360 games, how does one balance reward for your game?
Well, you get how many?
You know,
does
you gotta think about that.
Like, you can't balance it from game to game. I mean, it's like from what I've seen, from like in both commercial and live arcade titles, a lot of them have like their bonehead achievements. Like this is something that you'll get maybe like in the first 5-10 minutes of playing if you're awake. I think it's, you know, just to get people, you know, just to reward them and, you know, get them playing for more. Then, you know, I've seen a lot that are you know, just from you know, just to get them doing certain things, like kind of like carrots at the end of a, you know, on a string. It's like, you know, we'll play through the single player campaign and you'll get some points, get you to play through that, you know, like you know, giving you points for, you know, certain multiplayer modes to get you to explore the whole game. So, you know, it's and then there's of course the inhuman godly achievements, like getting to wave 100 in Robotron, which I've, you know, which maybe like 3 people have done on the planet. Which, you know,
yeah, Justin,
which,
Vic, I know your power in Robotron is intense, so if you can't do it.
Oh, yeah.
So, and more.
Yeah, I think this is a gigantic cop out by Sony. I think they could have, if they wanted to, they could have implemented some system similar to what Xbox 360 has without treading on their legal turf.
Yeah, well,
really
mean,
do.
Look at, like, it's, you know, it's kind of like the whole Apple steals from Xerox, Microsoft steals from Apple. Now, you know, so, you know, why doesn't Sony just go ahead and, okay, well, like, because I think they're going to call them entitlements on Sony Online. And you,
well, they
gotten
were
away
going
with that.
To, and then people got pissed off about it. The entitlement thing.
Yeah, but it's like, dude, I don't know. It's just like not. It's one of those things that it's so cool, you can't not rip it off.
Right.
Hmm.
Right.
So hopefully Nintendo takes a hint and rips it off, and it makes like Wii achievements or something.
Wii achievements. All right. Another PS3 news. eBay has pulled the plug on PS3 auctions. I think we talked about this on the last show. So just hours after retailers, including GameStop, opened their doors for a limited number of PS3 pre-orders. Owners, and that's in quotes, as Justin Fick pointed out on the other show, you're not 100% guaranteed a system if you pre-order.
Not only that,
owners were already advertising them for sale on eBay, all for inflated, outrageous prices. So all the 20 listings for PS3 were found on the site at press time. No bids had been made, and when users tried to click through the seller's pages, they were instead redirected to an invalid item page, saying that this listing is unavailable. If this listing was removed by eBay, considered it canceled. Mm. So eBay's taking action on this heat.
Another reason.
So how much is a piece of paper saying, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's
a receipt
only
for a Wii or
that piece
PS3
of paper
worth.
Only cost $100. So the people still don't even technically own the systems yet, which is another
right.
reason.
Yeah,
they pulled
like I have to correct myself from last week. I like. It is the stupidest thing in the world is not to pre-order the PS3. The stupidest thing in the world is to buy that pre-order receipt, which doesn't guarantee you a system from someone else.
Seriously. You know what really gets me, though? Like, I mean, to go out and do all this and then sell it on eBay and like, try and juke the system, like, what kind of, like, That's what you do with your life. You go and
oh, I'm gonna sell it on eBay and I'm gonna make $100 off somebody's anguish. Awesome.
Oh, so Lucas, right?
Uh-oh.
Lucas aims me the other day. Lucas is a friend of Blake Buck's and by extension the podcast, I suppose. He does go to DigiPen, but you know, maybe we can see past that. I say that in jest, of course. Lucas aims me yesterday and he says, "Hey, guess what? I pre-ordered a Wii." And I said, "Okay."
I saw that.
I got it before Blake Buck. He said, "This is the first system I've ever bought before Blake Buck." Apparently Lucas comes to Blake Buck and says, "I'm going to buy a DS today." And Blake Buck goes out and buys one before him just to spite him. Like,
he told me it was in the mail, and I was like, you know what I could use right now? A DS!
But anyway, he was like, man, now that I have this, maybe I'll sell it on eBay and make a bunch of money.
No, don't do that. See, every time you do that, baby Jesus cries.
You know what you could do is you could get a job.
No, man, I'm going to make a fortune selling these coupons.
Anything that you say to us can and will be used against you on this show. Just so you know. All right. So another, we should have had this. We should have talked a little bit more about this on our movies and game show. We're going to have to do another one of those movies and game show because we really left out a lot
of
Mortal Kombat.
A lot of people have been telling us about all the stuff we've forgotten. There's a lot of game to movie conversions and vice versa. So don't worry. Yeah. I'm sure down the road we'll be revisiting these topics again.
We forgot some really classic ones like E.T. Forgot E.T.
Oh, yeah.
How could we forget E.T.?
What was that guy's name? The guy behind E.T.? It was just the one dude.
Yeah, the one guy.
An interview with him on G4 and he was like, "It's not my fault."
We also forgot the best game or movie to game conversion ever, which is GoldenEye. We forgot GoldenEye.
How did we forget GoldenEye? We're so dumb. Anyway, that's for next week's show or another show in the future.
All right, we were not on the bounce for that one, but
for the sequel.
Yeah, this sort of fits in that category.
We're hiding that power because we want to have many game to movie episodes throughout the years.
So Halo movie is in flux.
Oh, no.
Universal Studios and 20th Century Fox pulled out of the Halo Studios or the Halo Studios, the Halo's movie. And because I think that they were trying to tell Microsoft that they didn't want them getting as much money. So Microsoft was originally going to get 7.5% of the proceeds and I think sold the franchise for how much money? I don't remember. $5 billion or something ridiculous.
My God.
Don't quote me on that. But anyway, so they pulled out and the film has entered pre-production anyway under Peter Jackson. And is due for a summer 2008 release, I believe.
Hmm.
Now, the only thing that's going to save this movie is if they get Tuncer Dennis to direct.
You mean Antonio Banderas.
No, Guillermo del Toro. Get it right.
Guillermo del Toro. There we go. Yeah, Tuncer Dennis probably doesn't look like a... Anyway. Oh, my God. The show is like such low energy because Blake Buck is on a phone. Like, I'm not getting into this because all three of us aren't really here.
Dude,
you know?
I'm here. I just sound like a robot.
You sound like a robot. Anyway, this movie has a budget that's rumored to be approaching the $200 million mark. $200 million for Halo 2 movie.
That's a lot of money.
So we'll see how that pans out. I'm sure somebody else will jump on board. Anyway, last item on the news today is Sony claims that the PS3, a fully tricked out PS3, is cheaper than an Xbox 360 core system.
No way. No way.
So when I read this article on...
okay, sorry. Continue.
So I read this article on Kotaku the first time, and... Engadget reported that Sony had a press release, and they released this chart with their press release, and it had the Sony PS3 box, which had the 20 gig hard drive, the Blu-ray, the wireless controller, the online gaming access, and it listed for $499. Mm-hmm. Right next to that, it had the Xbox, and here's the kicker, in parentheses, you know, before it starts listing off all the things you buy, it says required items. Required items. So then it listed off the following. So the 20 gig hard drive, the HD DVD player, the wireless controller, and 12 months of Xbox Live subscription. All this is all stuff that Sony claims you are required to buy for the Xbox 360. And it listed it as $694.
You know, they're right. Sony, you've worked that magic and we didn't see through it.
So of course this caused a little bit of a, you know, cry from the masses, to which Sony responded to by saying in a press release, through our comparison charts, we are not trying to imply that you must purchase the myriad of peripherals and add-ons that Microsoft offers to play your Xbox 360. Yet they said these items are required on the chart.
We said this, but we're not saying
however,
that.
If you don't, however, if you want to attempt to come close to the performance of the $499 PlayStation 3, you could only do so through expensive add-ons.
But then if you were to do that, why wouldn't you just buy the premium system?
Yeah, why don't you just buy the premium and the 12-month Xbox Live? It's $450. That's $50 cheaper than your jank version.
Exactly. And I don't like the fact that Sony makes me buy all this stuff I might not want.
Exactly.
Like, you know, they say that their online service is free. Well, no, it's not. You're paying for that online service when you buy your console. You know, you're paying for that wireless controller. You're paying for all that stuff. Maybe I don't want the hard drive, you know, but it's forced on me anyway.
So this week, Sony's all over the headlines and none of it's good.
What's new?
What else is new? All right, let's leave this news behind. I'm tired. It's time for releases.
All right, so this weekend releases, guys. We have got a mountain of releases this week. It's going to be heating up between now and probably its next 4 or 5 weeks are just going to be huge weeks. So we're starting to kick it off this week. No more Airbender this week. So the first game up we got is Guild War Nightfall for the PC. It's coming out on the 26th. It's the third campaign to the Guild of War series to arrive on the PC. Up next, we got Marvel Ultimate Alliance on the 360, PS2, PSP, Xbox, PC, and GBA. Whew. Wow, that's an onslaught there. It's coming out on the 24th, and it continues the X-Men Legends franchise with over 20 new playable characters.
Nice.
I might be picking that one up when it gets cheaper. We've also got Dark... Oh, what is that? I keep wanting to say Dark Magic. We've also got Dark
Magic Messiah. Of Might and Magic. Return of the Ring.
So we've also got...
All right. Star Wars is seeing another iteration.
Dude, I'm
Star
not
Wars
done with it. I'm
Empire
reading it.
War.
What? I didn't finish my thing.
Oh, my God.
I swear to God, my nut's going in your mouth. We've also got Dark Messiah of Might and Magic for the PC. Dark Messiah of Might and Magic puts players in a first-person perspective using the Source engine from Valve.
Dude, I love how, like, Might and Magic is in this zone now where they can just have anything and just market it as a game just by putting Of Might and Magic after the title. Like, Heroes of Might and Magic. Dark Messiah of Might and Magic.
Ghostbusters of Might and Magic.
Dude, they
it's
will
a
never first
person
stuff.
Shooter kind of game that's just got the Might and Magic look and tag.
No, it's original. Shh. It's original.
Call of Duty okay. of Might and Magic.
Splinter Cell.
All
of
right,
Might
Star
and
Wars
Magic.
Is seeing another iteration. Star Wars Empire at War, Forces of Corruption, where you can play for the first time as the light side, the dark side, or the corrupt
Ooh,
side.
That's so devious.
Poker Superstars 2, it better be Strip Poker Superstars 2, raises the stakes with more superstars, bigger tournament, and brand new poker AI. Fear Extraction Point, sequel to the popular horror first-person shooter game Fear. Wait a minute. Am I thinking of Fatal Frame? Was Fear another one of those horror first-person shooter things?
It is a horror first-person, but it's not Fatal Frame. It is not Fatal Frame. It's actually good. Fatal Frame, not good. All right, just a bit go.
All right, so also we have Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell Double Agent, Xbox, PS2, and GameCube. Splinter Cell Stealth Action Series returns for a fourth go-around in Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell Double Agent. We have Phantasy Star Universe comes out for...
Wait. Before you keep going, I gotta say my piece about Tom Clancy. So I read a Tom Clancy novel whenever I get on an airplane. Okay, the last one I read, I think, was Hunt for Red October or something. But Tom Clancy has become this ethereal, godlike figure that I liken to Thomas Kincaid, Painter of Light. This guy doesn't write anything anymore. He has his peons do it for him. So he's got, like, the kids series of books, like Net Force and Special Ops and all these crazy, like, I don't even know. The guy's a machine, but he doesn't really do anything anymore. He's just got a workshop.
Tom Clancy's Spy Kids 3D of Might and Magic.
Of Might and Magic. All right, Justin, go.
All right. Also, we're going to see Phantasy Star Universe for Xbox 360, PS2, and PC.
LeagueBug's been waiting for that one.
Phantasy Star Universe offers a single-player adventure as well as online multiplayer, boasts over 200 weapon variations and 20 weapon categories. It also has player-controlled vehicles and advanced character customization. Now, I saw the beta for this like 3 or 4 months ago, but because the only connection I have to Xbox Live is like jank stolen Wi-Fi, like I did the math and determined that by the time I finished downloading this 900 megabyte demo, the beta period will already have been over for 2 days. So I did not get to partake in the open beta. Plus, it breaks my vow of no MMOs ever under any circumstance.
All right, so also this week, coming out on the 24th, we got Reservoir Dogs for the PC and Xbox. This action game from SCI will closely follow the events of 1992 Quentin Tarantino movie of the same name. Yeah, I'm sure that conversion is going to be great.
Everyone dies.
You ruined a game. I'm not buying it now, my dude dies.
Like Mr. Pink's Revenge or something.
Oh, man. I love it. Also, we've got Dynasty Warriors Volume 2. Oh, my God. I can't even... If a game has the word Dynasty in it anymore, I won't even pick it up off the shelf. But for those of you into it, coming out on the PSP, October 24th, Dynasty Warriors 2. And Stronghold Legends on the PC, coming out on the 23rd. It continues the classic Stronghold PC real-time strategy game series.
All right. Also, for the DS, we've got Magical Star Sign, Magical Vacation, as you adventuring through outer space to rescue your teacher and classmates while exploring strange planets.
Wow, that sounds excellent, exciting.
Dot Hack Sign G.U Volume 1 / Rebirth. Needs no explanation. And Ace Combat X Skies of Deception. Let me turn my page. On the PSP.
All right. Yeah, bring it home. One left.
All right. And Toko Bot Plus, Mystery of the Karakuri.
Of Might and Magic.
Karakuri of Might and Magic for the PS2.
All right. So lots of releases, guys. And we're now sorting our news by like popularity. So those were like the top, what was that? How many did we go through? We went through it once, twice. That was, I guess, maybe like 15 or so. That was like the top 15 for this month. So, lots of stuff coming out this week, guys. So
I rather like to sort by popularity. So, like developers, if you're making Over the Hedge 5, it's not gonna make it on the show.
Not gonna make it on the show. I like that. All right. So now, guys, Wayne Miller, it's time for your judgment.
All right, so Blake Buck, about an hour ago, said I needed to do a judgment, and
Two weeks ago, it was Vic's day, and then it was my day 1 week ago, so now you would assume this week...
Well, see, I figured I'd be exempt, because I don't play games. Anyway, so I racked my brain, and I thought, well, you know, I could review something that I use, or that I've just started using on the developer side of things, so I'm going to bring it home for all you asset creators and developers out there. This week's judgment is on Luxology's Modo 202.
Is that a first-person shooter?
It is a first-person modeling application.
What?
So, Modo is the flagship product of Luxology LLC and is an advanced modeling application designed to fit in an already existing production pipeline. So, the guys that made Nutek's Lightwave 3D kind of got disgusted with the way Nutek's management was handling things. So Brad Peebler left Nutek in 2001 and assembled the old crew from the Lightwave programming team and founded Luxology. Moto was demonstrated at SIGGRAPH in 2004 and was released in the same year, and since the release has undergone several iterations and is now a fully featured 3D modeling application with integrated 3D paint and rendering systems. So I use this. I just picked this tool up, and it's really great. If you have a good GPA, you can get it for $90 from their website. The production version costs $800 or so. And it really shines as a very streamlined polygonal and subdivision surfaces modeler. So if you're a character modeler or even an environmental modeler, you're doing a lot of architectural stuff, this is a great tool. It has lots of tools, but they're very simple ones. And the feature that sort of wowed me the most was the tool pipe, which allows you to combine really simple deformers and fall-offs to create very complex tools of your own creation. It also has a one-click macros similar to Photoshop that make repetitive tasks really easy. And you can extend the application with popular scripting languages like Python or Lua or even Perl. So the D on this thing, Moto integrates into any pipeline you already have. So if you're a Maya user, you're a 3D Studio Max user, this thing fits right in. If you're used to the clunky workflows of these programs like Max or Maya, this thing is awesome. It's very streamlined, very easy to use. The jank is that while Moto does feature a renderer and texturing tools that can make really nice images, they're not very intuitive to use and can be pretty frustrating. There are also some stability issues, and Moto is not an end-to-end solution, so it doesn't provide tools for like animation or special effects. But the judgment, thumbs up.
All right. Good deal.
So it's not a first-person shooter.
Not a first-person shooter. Sorry.
I agree with whatever you just said. Excellent.
So if somebody understood any of that, email me so that I know that I'm appreciated around
Miller
here.
Miller at bestdamnpodcastever.com.
That's right.
All right, guys.
See, this is Blake Bug. This is what you get for making me do judgment.
thank you for that review, Wayne.
You'll know
very
next
nice.
Time. Yeah, next time I'm doing Xcode, you better look out. Xcode 2.4.
Oh, you're gonna review version numbers. Okay, all right.
Now, if you just would have said like instead of like Luxology's Moto 202, if you just said like 3D Model Tycoon 4 of Might and Magic, then you would have kept my attention. But
All right, you know, I'm wondering what section is next. I know it's my favorite section, but I just can't remember what it is. Can somebody help me out?
Would that be the jank, Blake Buff?
The jank of the week. All right, guys, I got a jank. I was racking my brain for what to come up, because I usually buy a video game once a week, at least one minimum, and this week I've been saving for my Xbox, so I didn't buy anything. So I was racking my brain trying to think, and then I remember, oh, yes, I'll just get a game I bought from 2 weeks ago instead. So today's jank of the week is Mech Assault 2 Lone Wolf, the limited edition. This is the sequel to Mech Assault, which is the... I believe one of the most popular original Xbox Live titles. I think it might even be in one of the original ones, too. But Mech Assault 2 is just like Mech Assault 1. You run around a big robot, you shoot stuff. And Mech Assault 2, you can get out. You can, like, get in different vehicles and, like, plant bombs on the ground and stuff. Lots of variety. Pretty fun game. Play it on Xbox Live. I like poning 4-year-olds. They start crying. I like it. And why I like it, like, on Halo, everybody you play against is, like, awesome, you know? And no matter how good you get, you know, you always suck. But when I played this online, I was actually able to make some 4-year-olds cry. So I like that.
Nice.
So that's good.
Dude. But does it star the President of the United States?
I was playing Prey on Xbox Live the other day, trying to get them multiplayer achievements. And I don't know what the hell is wrong with French people. But I don't know. It's just like I was playing in a 4-player death match. And there was like one guy in a French accent asking me for gay sex. There's another guy that was, like, just talking in French the whole time. And there's a third guy that was singing in French the whole time. I've never been so afraid of anything in my life.
So if you want to expose yourself to gay Frenchmen, you can pick up Mech Assault 2 The Lone Wolf Limited Edition at GameStop for a mere $9.99. What a savings! $9.99, GameStop.
It's pretty substantial jank, Blake Buck.
And it's even the limited edition.
That's two and a half Sneak Kings.
check it out. All right, so what's our discussion this week, guys?
All right, Blake Buck, our topic of the show this week is beat 'em ups.
Ooh. This is an honor of Bully that just got just came out, just enjoyed a release, good reviews, and of course is getting banned just because of its image in the UK. It's awesome.
I love it.
So would you consider Bully a beat 'em up? I would think it's more like a an adventure game. Not set in the sort of quintessential adventure setting, but I mean it's still kind of same thing.
It looks like a cross between like a beat 'em up and a GTA.
Like, yeah, I mean,
it's got all that mission based stuff, but I've also heard it described as like the modern day River City Ransom.
Okay.
So it's not like Yakuza.
So Blake Buck, what are some sort of tell us the history of the beat 'em up go?
That's
since you're the veritable source of
all
gaming knowledge.
Wait a minute, that's not at the top of this article. That's not in our news.
Well, what happened was William Miller decided to print out his heat after the heat was added. So William Miller is sans heat. So the top of the heat is what we mentioned earlier, is that two retailers in the UK have banned Bully. Curry's and PC World are refusing to stock the game, citing the explicit link between violence and children. Now, some UK retailers are refusing to stock Rockstar Games' forthcoming PS2 title, Bully. It's called Canis Canem Edit in the UK, which I think means dog eat dog. retailers Curry's and PC World are both owned by GSD International. Will not sell the game when it goes on sale in Europe on October 27th. They've said that the game is, quote, not appropriate for Curry's family-friendly image. And while that's going on, they are stocking Saints Row, Gangs of London, Yakuza, and Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
This is far worse than Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, I'm sure.
See, I don't know. I love people sometimes. They amuse me in funny ways.
So the quote here says from, you know, spokesman Mark Webb says that we realize that we've got other games that are more violent. And I'm reading this in the I'm an a**hole voice. I should not do that.
We realize
that we've got, you got to be at least abstract till you get to the end of the quote. We realize that we've got other games that are more violent. We do know that, but we are a family store. And this game is specifically about violence in the playground and the reasoning behind, and that's the reason we're not stocking it.
So, in a nutshell, I can cut up dudes with samurai swords, I can bang hookers, I can run them over in cars, I can shoot cops in the face, but I will be damned if I cannot shoot a kid with a slingshot. That is forbidden.
That's what this is going to cause. It's going to cause mass violence.
I think that's the problem
hysteria.
With society, and why kids are growing up as and writing like emo music, like Hawthorne Heights. Like, it's because they're not getting their ass kicked enough. Like, we're seeing so much like hookers. Take hookers. Hookers are tough people because they just get beat up so much. Like they get run over and they get their money stolen back. You know, as reflected in Grand Theft Auto, because that's the way the world works. But children are just sheltered. Like, playground violence? No, can't happen. So kids grow up to be and they form bands like Hawthorne Heights and Linkin Park.
You know, I read an article. This is kind of related to what you were saying. I read an article where a school in Boston banned tag.
Oh, I heard about that
from the
too.
Playground. Like, they banned tag. Like, parents were worried that their kids would fall down, and the school was worried that they would be sued and be liable for a scraped knee. So they banned tag and all other, quote, contact games.
Dude.
Tag.
The solution to all of society's problems, parents...
Meat cleavers.
Just beat the out of your kid once a week.
Yes, that is obviously the solution.
Listen, Vic, you should go into child care and, you know, safety prevention.
Dude,
and all that.
I should be a social worker.
I'm sorry, lady, I'm having to take your kid away. We're going to take him to a world of pain.
I will go to, like, an elementary school and just kick every kid's ass. And that school will be like the baddest school from that point on.
But we're getting off topic.
So
we need to focus more on beating and and up. Okay?
Yeah.
So, what is the second article we have here?
All right. In response to this, the Prime Minister in the UK, Tony Blair, has agreed to look into Bully. He's agreed to a meeting called by a member of Parliament and game critic Keith Vaz. Keith Vaz, a member of Parliament for Leicester East, has called a discussion for Rockstar Games' Bully in today's Prime Minister's Question Time. Now, for a little background info, Keith Vaz is kind of like the UK's version of Jack Thompson.
He can't be as crazy though. There's no way.
No, he's not nearly as insane. But he has he's addressed Tony Blair in London's House of Commons, stating last Thursday the British Bureau of Film Classification gave a 15 certificate able to be purchased by persons 15 years and over to a video game formerly called Bully. This game contains scenes of violence, including players terrorizing teachers and students, teachers being headbutted, and the aggressive use of baseball bats. Curry,
look, that was my school growing up. I don't see what the big deal is.
And that will also be the first school that I visit on my my quest to make this world a better place.
I mean, honestly, if I were a teacher and I didn't get headbutted or bludgeoned by a baseball bat by my students, I would think I was doing something wrong. Yeah. Honestly.
It's like, what's wrong with these kids that I can't get beaten with a baseball bat in English class?
Right.
So, given the link between video games and their propensity to encourage violence that has been demonstrated in some research, I love this, will the Prime Minister convene a meeting of the stakeholders, including the industry and parents groups, to discuss this issue? And will he accept this is not about adult censorship, this is about protecting our children?
You know, just don't buy the game for your kids.
Yeah.
Just don't do it. All
no,
right.
But you got to think. What about, can kids buy the games themselves?
Not if, I mean, okay.
Well, Bully
as we
teen.
Talked about on the last show, it's rated teen. So the stores that resell this thing voluntarily,
but not all stores do that.
Sell it,
and particularly in the UK,
they voluntarily use the age requirement.
How do we know that all stores in the UK follow that requirement?
They have a separate ratings thing, don't they?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I mean, we don't know a lot about the UK side of, we know about the ESRB, but maybe our listeners could send us in, how does the UK game rating system work? You know, how well is it enforced, that kind of thing.
But you know what, parents, I'm going to take a different stance on this. Willie Miller says, parents, don't buy this game for your children. I say, parents, buy this game for your kid, which will teach him to be a killer, because if you don't, other parents are going to buy this game for their kids, and they're going to kick the shit out of your kid.
Oh, I love it.
So the only way to save your children is to buy Bully for them.
That's the quote. That's the quote.
So,
the only way to save your children is to buy Bully for them.
So, Bully is like we said, is it an adventure game? Is it a beat-em-up? That's why we're kind of getting on the topics of beat-em-ups now, I don't know. Somebody segue this better than that.
it's not like the like a really old school linear beat 'em up. It's from what I've seen. I haven't played it yet, but from what I've read, you get this like this boarding school, and it's mission based, and it's pretty free form. But there's two classes you have to attend every day, or else the prefects come after you. And there's also a curfew at 11 p.m. that you have to be in bed, or the prefects will come after you. But you can break these. You can skip classes, stay out late if you want to. And then you can do missions, and you can sort of cause trouble for the five like very archetypical like gangs. Like, they have the preppies, they have the jocks, they have the nerds, and they're like very stereotypical, and it's the combat is it's like a lot of grappling. It's got like slingshots. It's got stink bombs and bottle rockets. And you know, it's not like you're walking into school with a rifle. There are no there are no lethal weapons at all in Bully, which is probably how it got the T rating. And from what I've heard, that you actually you're actually the good guy you're not a criminal like you are in GTA. You're like the street smart kid in the middle of all these gangs that can see through everybody, and you have to defend the kids that are getting beat up and sort of beat up the bullies, in other words.
Well, my the game development department at SCAD has purchased this game, and as soon as I beat off all the other sweaty nerds that want to check it out, I'm going to check it out and play it. Whoa, and get back
did you say
to you.
Beat off all the other sweaty nerds that want to check it out.
Oh.
Now that's the quote of the show. Oh, William Miller. What have you done?
Oh. All right, that's it. I'm done.
Hey guys, get Bully out. William Miller's coming over.
All right, so let's talk about
I can't wait to shoot my game developer juice all over his face.
Oh, I thought he was done with the callbacks. No, I got it slapped in my face. Bully's the most recent incarnation of the beat 'em up series, but let's talk about the classic and the history of the beat 'em up series, Justin Fick.
Thanks for handing that off to me, Blake Buck. the first beat 'em up I remember playing, I know there's some before this, but it was Kung Fu.
Oh, I remember that on the NES, man.
Oh yeah.
Where didn't you run to the left?
Yeah, and you walked to the left, and you just had punch and kick.
See, that game, I never liked that game because you went to the left. You're supposed to go right in video games. What's this going
did you
left?
Get to level two? Then
the palace is designed backwards.
Well, if you get to level two, then you get to go to the right.
Oh, thank God. Well, I never got that far. I was like, what's going on? And I threw the controller against the wall.
Dude, I beat that game so many times. Mr. X was my big...
Mr. X.
Oh yeah, that was the end boss. There were no Japanese bosses at all in this beat 'em up, even though it's called Kung Fu. Like you have a dude with a stick is the first one. Who the hell is the second? A dude with a boomerang. Of course, why a guy in Oriental Kung Fu game has an Australian boomerang? Who knows? There's like a giant as the third boss. And you have like this magician dude that throws moths at you in the fourth and the fifth one, Mr. X. So that was my earliest beat 'em up experience, and then probably from that I moved on to Renegade, which I hate with a passion. and then of course after that, Double Dragon.
Did you guys ever play Battletoads?
Oh. Blake yeah. Buck played Battletoads and almost
I
beat
hate
it.
Battletoads.
See, everybody almost beat Battletoads. You get to the bike level, and then
no,
it's over.
No. That, first of all, bike level was level two of that game, dude. You suck.
No. Look. I remember this game. There's the top level. You beat a bunch of stuff. You beat a bunch of pigs up in that, and then you go down the tree, and you're like on ropes or whatever, and you have to beat up the sparrows, and then there's something after that, and then it's the bike level, and then after the bike level, you get to the last level.
It's like a roller coaster level. I remember I almost beat it on ROMs one time. That was the only way I could do it, was with those save states.
I don't remember a roller coaster level. You haven't played
this
game.
Dude, you never got that far. I got much further than you. You suck.
Dude,
you're playing Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Roller Coaster Tycoon is not Battletoads, Blake Buck.
Oh, damn it. Might and Magic?
Yes.
Let's stop for a minute and talk about. How do we define the beat 'em up genre? I mean, a lot of people. I mean, especially our new listeners. We say beat 'em up, we know instantly what we're talking about. But I don't know, some people. You say beat 'em up, they just think you're talking about action game. How do we define beat 'em up as a genre?
Basically, a beat 'em up is it. Of course, entails the beating up of many people, but it's not a fighting game. There's actually a difference. Like the beat 'em up. Is one you against many, and if there's more than one player, the idea is you team up against the many. A fighting game is when you fight one dude, and it's about, you know, what moves to use against what other moves, and if you're fighting another dude, you're fighting with against him.
Right.
So the beat 'em up is features that you'll see a lot is that they're pretty linear.
Some of them you can walk up and down in.
And they will have like some sort of depth, like 2.5D movement, which was actually introduced by Renegade, which I hate. and then Double Dragon was the first one to, or not the first, but it was the most popular one to actually stretch that out into linear levels with bosses at the end.
Hmm.
So basically, you have like a couple moves, and you know like punch, kick,
jump, and
Double
jump
Dragon
kick.
Lets you level up your moves into you know like jump kicks and head butts and knee kicks and all that crazy stuff. And
so what happened to the beat 'em up genre? Maybe we should ask that. Why don't we see any of these beat 'em up games anymore?
I think the thing that's closely analogous to beat 'em up in today's world are games like Diablo, where you go and beat stuff up.
That's,
I mean, it might not have the
slash.
Same viewport, but it's got the same kind of feel.
That's hack and slash.
I would say the closest thing to the old school beat 'em up nowadays in the 3D world are games like Dynasty Warriors, 99 Knights.
Yeah, I mean,
stuff
well,
like
I mean,
that,
certainly like Bully
where,
is a, is
you know,
a, is
they,
a modern
they,
integration.
They take
of
the
it.
One against many to extremes.
Right. So they're still around. It's certainly not in the form they used to be in, but they're still prevalent in the industry, I think.
Well, and I think with X Blah, we're gonna see some beat 'em up soon. Like there is one in the works. Mr. Steve Zay showed me a video. The Behemoth guys, makers of Alien Hominid, are working on a beat 'em up, which looks very cool. Like in that same artistic style as Alien Hominid, like four little colored knights. And you're just walking around just chopping stuff up.
Oh, I've seen a video of that, and it's awesome, because, like, well, it's not awesome. It's got the, okay, it's got these three knights, and they're dressed in white.
Mm-hmm.
And you beat the shit out of black people.
What?
Like, the video
thinking
I...
totally different games.
The video
you're
I saw...
You're thinking of the Ku Klux Klan.
No.
I'm thinking of a video
this
game.
No. The game
Oxford,
I saw...
Mississippi.
Okay, I saw this video posted on Kotaku. They had this woman that called somebody complaining about this game, right? That she had seen footage of it, and it was like... And it played the footage with her phone call in the background, and it was these four knights running around beating up, like, black aborigine-looking people. It might have just been one level, but like it looked really, it looked like Ku Klux Klan dudes running around beating up black people.
Yeah, we're thinking of different games here.
Well, all right, I'm going to look it up.
What are you talking about? Dude, wait, Miller, what's wrong with you?
Shut up talking to me.
That's like, I think maybe Rockstar is working on the video game adaptation of American History
X. That's the only thing they haven't tapped, racism. Oh, wait, they have.
I'm going to find this. You better wait.
So let's talk about some of our favorite beat-em-up games. So you listed your favorites, Justin Fick. I think my favorite, I have to list, of course, Golden Axe, a classic.
Ah, good choice. My top three, I would say in no particular order. Actually, you know what? I will put them in particular order. Golden Axe is number three.
Okay.
For me. Which, you know, because of the dwarf with the big axe, and you get to ride a dragon and burn people to a crisp. Number two is Final Fight.
Ooh, Assault, the first one?
Yes.
Okay.
They're all pretty good, but the first one in particular. All
right. I liked Hagar, remember, because the shirt pops. I like that.
Yep. Dude. If you're the mayor of a city and you can rip your shirt off and wear an ammo belt and beat people up, I want to live in your city.
You know, speaking of mayor of a city, somebody was showing me SimCity 4 the other day. And did you guys know in SimCity 4 you can like drive around in vehicles around the city?
No.
Well, like that's one of the things you can unlock. And so
can you pick up hookers?
No, but you can drive around in like a sports car, or you can drive around like a school bus and do like little school bus missions. Just a little silly stuff they've added on. But one of the things you can do is drive around as the mayor, and the mayor drives around in a limousine. And whenever you hit the space bar, money starts flying out the side of the windows, and the mayor starts, you know, the mayor speaks Simlish, so he starts throwing money out the window, and he goes, "Go, go, go, Blavay."
Now, see, what I would do in SimCity 4 is I would just make like this complete ghetto of a town. I would just make like the lowest possible like residential areas everywhere and no commercial or industrial zones and just drive around and pick up hookers.
Gobblevay.
Oh, okay.
All right, so yeah. So
Castle Crashers. Look, I found it. Castle Crashers is the new game by the creators of Alien Hominid coming out, and here is the video.
Castle Crashers.
If you go on Kotaku, type in racist and scroll down a couple pages, you'll see
it. Anyway, while I'm looking that heat up, my number one favorite beat 'em up of all time, I would say it would have to be River City Ransom.
Oh man, a classic.
That's a good one. Well, okay, so here are mine. First is Dungeons and Dragons, the arcade game.
Okay.
It was awesome, beat 'em up. Second would be Ninja Gaiden. And third would be Ninja Gaiden 2. You know what? I don't know. Ninja Gaiden 3, probably.
I don't know if I would consider...
No. Ninja Gaiden sucks, dude.
Ninja Gaiden is not quite a beat 'em up, I don't think.
I would classify that as a beat 'em up.
That's more of like a Castlevania kind of style.
I would classify Castlevania as a beat 'em up too, just because you have a weapon. I mean,
I guess. But see, when I think of like guys with health bars that go down on the right side of the screen, and you pick up chicken and eat it, and that sort of thing.
I remember playing the Tick video game for Sega Genesis. I think it was Sega Genesis. The Tick. You remember the Tick, that TV show that came on Fox for a long time and. Or for a little while, it was canceled. Really funny cartoon, The Tick, and play as The Tick, and you beat up ninjas. And those were the only two characters in the game: Ninja and Tick. And the levels just progress because there are more ninjas, and just one Tick. That's how it went. It was really boring. I hated it.
Okay, so I'm looking at this right now. Your dudes are not dressed in white. There is a blue guy, a red guy, a green guy, and a yellow guy.
Dude, what are you talking about? They look white to me. They look whiter than those black dudes that are getting beat up.
Well, I guess anything is whiter than black, but dude, that's like the colors on their helmet. They're not wearing hoods or anything, Jesus.
They're wearing different colored helmets and stuff. You should listen to the phone call that accompanies it. It's pretty funny.
Dude, if it's by a woman, there's... No. It doesn't hold water.
Anything women say is instantly invalidated when it comes out of the mouth.
Oh my god. We just did a show on women in gaming, and people wonder why no women play games, are integrated into game culture. It's because of Justin Fick and his... Alright, so who's your favorite beat-em-up character? My vote goes for Hagar.
Oh, yeah. Undoubtedly.
For exactly the same reason. And maybe like one of the Battletoads characters.
No, dude, you guys have got it all wrong. The best beat-em-up character ever is obviously from Streets of Rage. He was simply known as Skate. Do you remember Skate? He was a little black kid who skated, and they called him Skate.
Well, at least it wasn't Boombox, like in the Transformers television show. I wonder if they'll have Boombox in the movie.
In the Michael Bay classic.
Now, okay, so best beat-em-up character. The worst beat-em-up character, I'd have to say, if we're giving William Miller credit for Ninja Gaiden, has to be Ryo Hayabusa of Ninja Gaiden fame. The absolute worst character of any beat-em-up ever.
Now,
I never played through Ninja Gaiden, okay, and you know, you don't see the ninja's face the whole time, and he looks kind of bad. But in the final, the ending, like after you save this girl, like after you traded these demon statues for her life, and though she shot you for no reason, then saved you for no reason, and decided to save her life, you take off her mask and you tell your lover, and you're like this blue eyed bowl cut freak. You're like this pansy. I was like, I can't believe I've actually played you. Through, you know, 6-7 worlds of levels, and you're this, like, wussy. It's like, no, it's like ninjas...
Do you have a Blake Buck bowl cut?
Less than that.
Shut up!
Yeah, he looked so cool in the cutscenes. One of the good things about that game is it had really cool, like, for the day, it had really nice-looking cutscene things.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, at the end, he takes off his mask, and he looks like Blake Buck, except not that.
Except attractive, that's the difference.
But not only that, he like tells a girl that he loves her. What the hell is wrong with you? You should like be demoted from ninja down to Ninjas don't take off their masks and tell girls they love them. They chop their heads off, they eat their faces, and then they step on children while they chop people up with ninja swords.
All right. Well, before we offend more women or black people, let's move on here.
Good thing 90% of our audience is white male nerd.
Woo!
Now, if we started making fun of virgins, now we have a problem. I got an idea. The three of us, since we're such gaming experts,
right?
Let's design the perfect beat 'em up. What would it have?
All right, stars the cougar.
Hey, so you star as a pirate with an eat face button, and your enemies are children. So you pick them up, hit B, and that eats their face, and you throw them like a hand grenade.
Okay, and every time you eat a face, you get a little bigger. Now, you get more power when you're bigger, but you get hit easier, right? Mm-hmm. You move a little bit slower.
So it's like Katamari Damacy, only you're eating kids' faces.
And you're a pirate.
Man, I don't see why we can't get, publisher to just pick us up, guys. I mean...
All right, anybody out there listening wants to make that game...
Feedback at bestdamnpodcastever.com.
We should pitch this one to Running with Scissors.
We work for Hot Wings and Pizza. So if you can just hook us up with that...
No. Not Hot Wings or Pizza. Hot Wings on Pizza.
Oh, all right. That's right.
Just for the sake of justice here... Blake Buck did not, in fact, go make hot wings and pizza. He said he was going to, but he didn't.
Well, see, here's the thing. Okay, so I get out of my room like, man, I'm going to make hot wings on pizza. This is going to be awesome. All right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then so I take my camera into the kitchen with me, and I put the hot wings on the counter, and I put the pizza on the counter. I'm sitting there. Nobody's in my apartment. It occurs to me, there is no way I can photograph myself making hot wings and pizza. There's no way I can do it.
Do you not have a timer on your camera?
Oh, I do, but then I have to set it up on the tripod and then run over to the other side of the room, and then it doesn't really work really well. So we got anything else we want to say on this topic, guys?
I think that just about covers it, although I'm sure we're going to get some... we're going to think of a lot of cool beat-em-up games in retrospect.
Like Sonic Blast Man.
Well, all right, so now what's our next section, guys? Oh, it's time for feedback.
All right, Blake Buck, I understand you have some voicemails for us.
Let's pull these voicemails up for us, guys.
Blake Buck is going to hold the telephone up to the computer because he was on the telephone today. So we can hear these. We'll see if this works.
Have you ever had this happen to you? This is a mistake already. like there's brain part that says, Blake, don't say this. So I'm like leaning forward, right, and you got like hairs on your stomach, and then like my belt pinches my hairs when I lean back and it pulls my hairs out of my stomach. I hate that.
Well, you should probably try wearing pants under your belt.
Oh, that might help. There's not a lot under there. I'm still waiting on puberty. All right, so here's our first voicemail.
Best damn podcaster. Hey, what's happening, guys? Just called to let you know. Oh, by the way, this is Jack from Jersey. Anyways, just called to let you know that basically I got a call from GameStop EB saying that they're making a bundle pack for the PS3 when it comes out on launch. I'll get Talladega Nights for the Blu-ray, and also I get 20% off on trade-ins, or 20% towards trade-in or whatever. So just thought I'd let you guys know. I love your show. You guys are great. Have a good one, bro.
All right, thanks, Jack.
All right, Jack from Jersey, did he say?
Jack
had
from
a jank
Jersey.
For us.
Jersey.
So what were the specifics of that jank?
Let me tell you a bit about bundle packs, right? I might have laid this heat on you before, but when I used to work for Cosmo Games, when the new systems PS2, Xbox, and GameCube came out, we were such a shady place that the employees all went to all the other stores in town, bought out all their PS2s, Xboxes, and GameCubes, brought them to our store, and we sold the bundle pack only. With three extra games. So you had to buy that with three games.
Oh, man.
That's the bundle pack.
Blake Buck, where does that fit in the circle of life?
Dude, that is its own circle of life.
No, we rape the circle of life at Cosmo Games.
All right, so here's our second voicemail. This is from Wazoo. Remember, he called in a few weeks ago, and now he's... Remember, we didn't know what his podcast was called, so now he's called back to clarify for us.
Hi, Blake. It's Wazoo again. Since you're not responding to my private messages, I thought I'd say it myself. One, what I said was small, lost podcast. L-O-S-T, lost. Second, I don't really run it. I kind of co-host. And after he heard that, the guy who listens to your show, who actually runs the show, got a little mad. So consider this my formal apology. Third, I think? Yeah, I'm at three-ish. Third, I've been listening since IMG22. Fourth, I'd love to come on the show sometime. Thank you, Miller. And five, Blake.
Oh, what have I done? Blake, so, you should just not let me respond to... Okay, so... Getting somebody on the show, if it's not a live show, is actually pretty difficult. So we reserve that only for, like, special guests and stuff. I was saying, no, if you want to work up, like, an audio promo, we'll play it on the show.
No, he has
like
to come
that
on the show now, Wayne Miller.
All right.
Look at what you've done.
You can come on the show. We'll make an exception for you.
Your slip of the tongue has caused a small lost podcast to become a mega lost podcast.
Well, you can share all 30 of our listeners will be exposed to your lost podcast. Come on and talk about it.
Very true.
Yep.
All right, so our next are our written emails. We got two this week. The first one is from Adam F. He says, "Blake Buck, stop pretending that you don't know what battle is. You damn well know what battle is. It was the best part of the IMG podcast. Bring that shit back." And a note on phonetically spelling, I've concluded that all words spelled phonetically, people with speech impediments would... Wait, if all words were spelled phonetically, people with speech impediments would suck at spelling. Ooh, burned!
Insult master!
I want to become... P.S. If you wanted to go to football school, you should have come to Tennessee. Bam. I went to Tennessee for film school, sir. We see how that worked out. And I want more Cake Song and Apple II Forever Go. We'll see. We'll see what we can do. We might have an announcement at the end of the show, guys, involving a certain live show. Oh, who said that? All right, somebody take a seat.
So, a little clarification, though. What is battle and what is IMG?
Yeah, if anybody can tell us exactly what battle and IMG
keep
is,
asking
really
us,
appreciate
and,
it.
And what is battle music?
All right, next email, go.
That's it, isn't it? Oh wait, no, we've got Mark G,
one of the many Marks that contributes to our show. We've got Marks and Mikes and.
You guys should start. If your name is like, if your name starts with an M, when you write into the show, instead pick your favorite video game character for your name. All right, we can't keep up. This is too much.
All right, Mark G writes, not that Blake Buck cares, but he has been stumped. Operation
oh, no!
Neptune. Operation Neptune has nothing to do with shooting monsters on Neptune. Neptune is actually an educational Mars game where you shot monsters in Earth's oceans in your submarine.
That's educational Mac game. You are so retarded.
Oh, God. Mac game, excuse me. Educational Mac game.
Dude, talk about niche. Like, okay. Not only is it a Mac game, it's educational.
And every once in a while, a math problem pops up and you had to solve it or be drained of health. So,
like
do
blast.
He says, do I get podcast points for... Oh, no, we're going to hide that power.
No, go ahead and read it. Go ahead and read it.
Do I get podcast points for clicking Google ads on your site?
Oh,
no.
Oh, we didn't say it, guys. It wasn't us three.
Also, thank those who emailed us about helping out with the site.
No,
oh,
I wrote that.
That's not part of his email.
You're so stupid.
Oh, God. You better edit that out. Make me look good, please.
Oh my God, you're so stupid. All right, so also, guys, we've been getting a lot of emails this week of people who have been wanting to help out with the site. We got a couple of writers on now. We're starting to get articles turned on. It's really going great. So look forward to more content coming on the site. And thanks for everybody who's been helping us out with in that department. So at the end of the show, I'll run down the list of everybody who's been helping. So So if you'd like to write articles for our site, just send us an email at podcast. Oh, at feedback at bestdamnpodcastever.com. I talk fast. I'm sorry. I can't keep up. My mouth runs faster than my brain. All right, it's time for Stump.
All right, I got some Stump for you guys this week. There's been a paucity, to use one of Blake Buck's newly incorporated words, of Stump on our show, mainly because we're lazy.
Well, it's been retooled now. Stump is no longer Stump Buck. It's now Stump the other two guests we decided. So we're going to have three pieces of Stump, each of us. And we'll see who can stump the other two.
All right, so my Stump this week...
Yeah, it's like a circle Stump.
Oh, God. I hope you cut out that sweaty nerds thing. That's really great. Okay, anyway.
Yes, this is no longer the beat 'em up episode. This is the beat 'em off episode.
All right, my genre. Stump this week. Shut up! My stump this week. Is Treasure Mountain. Go. Treasure Mountain,
that's a ride. This is not Guillermo del Toro's new ride.
Yes, it sounds like a roller coaster, so it's a rail beat 'em up.
Yeah. Rail roller coaster, Mountain Magic. What else has it got in there? What'd you say? Magic Mountain? Rocket Mountain?
Treasure Mountain.
Oh, Treasure Mountain. Okay. This sounds familiar.
It's like Thunder Mountain, only it sucks.
Dude, and Treasure, what are you talking about? That's better than Thunder.
I'll give you a hint. There's a sequel called Treasure Cove.
Wait a minute. Is this that, this isn't that online, that like, it's like an MMORPG you played with like pirates?
No, there's nothing online about this game.
Puzzle Pirates.
That's the one I'm thinking of, Puzzle Pirates. That's right. All right. Well, obviously there's a mountain and it's filled with treasure. You have to do puzzles in order to unlock the treasure for your booty hold.
Well, that's pretty close.
And there's pirates and they eat people's faces.
It's pretty close. This was Treasure Mountain was a an educational game. I knew Blake Buck wasn't going to get this one. Justin Lame. Fick might have, but it was an educational game published by the Learning Company, and it's one I played when I was a wee lad. Came out for DOS, and you were you played as the Super Seeker. It was this cool looking guy with a jacket and a hat that covered his eyes, and you'd go and you were on Treasure Mountain, right? And you had to get three treasures, and each time you got one, you had to solve a riddle or something, answer a math question or something like that, and you got coins, if I remember correctly,
with a K because it's Mortal Kombat.
With a K. And it spawned a bunch of sequels. There was a Treasure Cove, and there was one that was just math, and it had robots in it, and all starred the same guy. It was one of those old-school DOS games back in the day.
Cool. And by that, I mean not cool, because I don't like education.
Yeah, I disapprove of educational games. Like, Oregon Trail, I would run all my guys into the water out of spite for educational games every time. Ford River,
you have died
death
of dysentery.
Times five. And the freaking oxen can die, too.
All right, Justin Fick. Lay your stump on us.
All right. Well, I'm gonna go double. I'm gonna go double stump.
Whoa.
The first one's in keeping with incredibly lame educational games trend that William Miller has started. My incredibly lame educational game is called Number Munchers.
I remember Number Munchers.
I think I remember that one too.
I remember this. Like you were on a. It was like a. You were on a grid.
No, it
or
was
something.
Like a conveyor belt, I thought. And the numbers came out and you had to munch them. And you were like a little monster kind of guy. And you had to like do the math problems and solve them, you know, as they came out of the conveyor belt kind of thing, maybe?
No, I thought it was like you had this grid of numbers and you were given like a type of number, like prime. And you had to go munch all the prime numbers.
Yeah, that's...
Dude, that was way too advanced
for me. That's pretty much it. It just gives you a... gives you a level, gives you like a grid of numbers, and then it'll be like multiples of five, multiples of three.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You this little green dude.
You played this game.
You just walked over him, hit spacebar, and munch him, and you had to avoid like, I don't know what the hell they're called, just like, but there are monsters that come and munch you if you run into them. But that's like the only game that, like, educational game I ever found myself playing because we had to in computer class. This is before we in eighth grade in the computer lab we actually beat the code out of like the kid that set up all the computers. This kid Matt had the code. And because it was a Natick school, we had D period Flutie. I remember the code. We got that code out of him, and we went and installed Wolfenstein on all the machines, and then all was good. No more Oregon Trail or Hyper Studio or any of that lame crap. Wolfenstein.
All right, well, for my stump buck, guys, I have not prepared anything, and I think I'm never going to prepare anything for stump buck just because it's so easy for me to stump you guys. In fact... I'm just going to open my closet right now. If you listen close, you can hear the closet open. And just sitting here, looking into my closet, I'm going to find a game that none of you guys have ever played. All right. I can lean in my chair, though. That's one stipulation. All right, I'm going with that one. Am I going with that one? I'm going with that one. All right. Closet closed. My game for you is Pursuit Force.
Pursuit Wars? Pursuit Force.
Pursuit Force. I've never played it. Well, obviously you're a force. And, it's kind of like Halo the Ride. You're in pursuit of, another force. And it's a rail shooter beat-em-up, Excite truck.
Might and Magic.
Of Might and Magic,
dude. This is a PSP game where I don't know what the hell, but like you're like jumping in cars, and there's a commercial on the TV where dust balls were arguing about ugly girls chasing them or something. Pursuit Force.
Damn it!
Oh, did you get it, Vic?
All right. Well, it was a PSP game.
I got it without even ever playing that game.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's a PSP game where you're riding on cars and you jump around on different cars and you shoot the terrorist. I love it. So, it's all right. Pursuit Force not going to win any awards for depth. All right, guys, well, that does it for this week in, almost said Matt Gaming in video games. What do you think about that?
Man, if I was a sweaty nerd, this week in news just beat me off.
Oh, no, William Miller. It looks like you've got a callback to end all callbacks.
Oh, God.
I am making sure there is no way to take that line out of this podcast.
There's no way to edit it now. It's got all these, you know, additional down-the-road jokes. Can't take it out now.
I know. Oh, well.
If you'd like to leave us any feedback, you can shoot us an email at feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com or call our listener line at 845-BATTLE-9. Also, guys, if you'd like to help out with the show, write some articles for the website, or if you got some, you know, PHP or web skills, or if you can make us videos or anything you can do to help the site, just shoot us an email. We can see what we can work up. I would love to thank the following people for helping out so far. Alexi G, Chris N, Johan B, Christopher R, Mark G, and Sirius Fox. So thanks.
Notice
all
we
you guys
didn't mention Mike Apps.
Oh,
no,
Mike.
Well,
Mike Apps and Bruce Morrison as well. So thanks for all the
help. You guys didn't help at all.
Thanks for all the help you guys are getting us. We need as much as we can get. I mean, look at this show. We're beating off nerds. So from all of us here at the Best Damn Podcast Ever, I'm Blake Buck.
I'm a sweaty nerd.
And I'm Justin Fick.
And we'll see you next time. And one last thing real quick after the show, guys. We're going to be having a live show spectacular this Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and 9 p.m. UK, I believe. So you guys come check out the live show. For information on how to listen to the live show, just check out bestdamnpodcastever.com/live show. Got all the details on how to get connected. We'll be taking calls, bringing back a little segment we call Battle Just Maybe. So guys, be sure to check it out, our Halloween Spectacular this Sunday.
beat off all the other sweaty nerds, beat off all the other sweaty nerds, beat off all the other sweaty nerds that want to check it out. I'm going to check it out and play it and get back to you. Oh, I hate you guys. I hate you guys.
I love it.
There's going to be justice. There will be karmatic retribution. Mark my words. I'm going to get you guys for this.
Get William you guys Miller for this. Has a hot date tonight.
Hey, William, we're over here to play Warhammer 40K.
Make sure you bring Bully.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Stop this recording. Enough.